Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Collie here from a very wet and windy critter shed in Wicklow. Just wanted to give you a heads up about this episode. It's about a wonderful bunch of people from the Wildlife Rescue Centre in Ireland. They are amazing, dedicated. They work for wildlife unselfishly, and it is amazing to observe. It's incredible that people would actually do so much and sacrifice so much of their own personal life and their own existence to look after animals. It really made me think about my own contribution to wildlife conservation, and for both me and Colette, it was very humbling to hang around with them and to learn what they do. If you have a chance, please follow them online. You can find them on Wildlife Rescue Ireland or even Google WRI. Follow that link, follow their social media, check out what they need. If they ask for anything, please try and help out. They're incredible and an amazing bunch of people, and the work they're doing is superb. They don't just talk about conservation, they don't just tweet about it, they actually physically get in there and get stuck in, and it's just inspiring. So please give them any support you can, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode.
So, Collie, we're on a road trip.
It's been a while. It's great to be back on the road. It's great to be out and about and seeing the countryside again.
It is indeed. And we're in a place that I personally have wanted to visit for a while. And you actually know people here.
I do. I know a couple of lads here who work in this special place. They actually helped me with Sam the Fox from Trinity when she was sick. They helped provide me with the medicine and some advice. So, yeah, be nice to see what they're up here.
And we are in
the Wildlife Rehabilitation Hospital.
Yeah,
I had to say that very slowly.
All right, here we go. So I'm actually going to put my mask on, so if we sound a bit muffled, it's because we're wearing our face masks. So we're on our way.
Lovely. It's kind of muggy out, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Lovely mist around. So we're out in north of Dublin, way north of Dublin, in a different county. And we're coming up to the entrance to the hospital. These guys are always busy, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to be. Well, I mean, they're the only wildlife really rescue place we have in the country.
Yeah. So the Wildlife Rehabilitation Hospital is located behind a green door that's set into a fairly nondescript white wall. Okay, it looks like there's somebody coming to the door. And of course, the person who opens the door is somebody Collie knows.
Hiya, how are things?
Sorry, Collie.
How are you?
Thanks very much.
How are you doing?
I'm Roisin. I'm an intern here.
But we're actually here to meet Dan.
Dan's not here at the minute. He's just gone to pick up an otter.
Oh, pick up an otter.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So he should be back in a few minutes.
So this gives us a chance to have a quick look around and just get a first impression of the place. It's situated in what's essentially an old stable yard. So to our left is the actual yard itself, surrounded on three sides by stables. And for the moment anyway, it seems fairly quiet.
I like the, you have a sign on the wall here. It says, a tame animal is a dead animal.
Very good. I love that.
Wow.
That's a very fair warning.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's warned before they go in.
The place we're standing in right now looks a bit like a makeshift reception area, because this is actually the place where members of the public bring in the injured wild animals that they found. And it's also the place where the animal is examined for the first time.
So if it's a bird, you're checking its wings, its legs, mammals like hedgehogs, you're checking for any cuts, fly strike, that kind of thing.
And depending on the condition that the animal is in, it might end up in the intensive care unit, which is just behind us.
So that's kind of like our sickest animal stay in there, and then kind of stables would be the next step onto the release site. So it's like a little process, step-by-step kind of guide for them all.
And as Roisin gets ready to take us on a quick tour of the ICU, Dan arrives.
How are you?
Good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Thanks for
Colette. Pleased to meet you.
Thanks for coming along.
And off we head into the intensive care unit.
Now we're heading into ICU, so this is where the sickest of patients are. So we're just going to dip our feet.
Yep.
So we're very all about biosecurity here. So no,
very good. Foot goes in, foot comes out, and we're walking in through the door. And immediately we get these beautiful smells.
Oh, wow.
You're right in time for cleaning if you want to get stuck in.
Oh, yes, that's brilliant.
Lots of that going on now.
So after our animals are triaged, they come in to ICU if they need it. So it's really quiet. Our trained volunteers and interns are in here, and they're kind of trained to spot how the animals are doing, be able to give medication.
And as you might imagine from the sounds that you're hearing, the intensive care unit is quite intense. It's a small room, it's stacked with cages, and it's full of smells and amazing sounds. But there's one unusual whistle. Yeah, it's that one right there. That catches my attention, and I'm really surprised to see the animal that's making it. It's a baby otter, a kit.
Oh, we're looking at a little a cage with a little otter cub. Beautiful.
Yeah, Petra's just cleaning out his enclosure there, so just pop them into a secure carrier while they're being cleaned. So this is Bloom. She's only 5 weeks old.
Aww.
She's found in a ditch just outside Swords there last week, that high pitch crying all day, and somebody rang in our helpline, thankfully, and we were able to put it out to our response team, and one of our members, James, there, he went out, it was about 10:30 I think, and he picked it up, and here she is now.
And was she healthy when she came in, or just
Very cold, dehydrated, had ticks on and stuff, and clearly been away from the mother for some time, so...
Is she on milk, solids?
Yeah, she's on special formula milk, so she's right. Getting that syringed with a special teat on that every 4 hours.
Yeah. Wow, there it is there.
Oh, we're looking at the teat there now. It's very small. That's the beautiful sound of an otter sucking on our bottle.
Beautiful.
Are you volunteering here long?
I'm with the hospital here since it opened in February.
Wow.
And then I was with Dan back in Kildare when we worked in Kildare Animal Foundation. So
what's
over
your name?
2 years now. Angela Balfe. I'm over 2 years now a volunteer working with the wildlife, and it's fantastic. Love every moment
Fair
of
play.
It. Brilliant, yeah.
I'd say it's very rewarding.
It is.
And exhausting at the same time.
Well, tiring as well, but fantastic.
Well,
very, very rewarding.
Legend. Fair play,
thank you.
Brilliant work.
Yeah, thank you.
Ollie is actually.
Ash, the whole gang are fantastic. Everybody puts effort and work and attention into the animals, and it's fantastic. It's a great, great teamwork here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never seen the web feet so close. That's incredible.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Look at you now. Yeah.
Bottle finish now.
Oh,
and
gone, yeah. Yes, indeed. Oh, God. No more left.
So, with each separate mammal species, I'm getting into the technical stuff because it's fascinating for me. Would each separate species need a different formula, or is it standard for them all? Is it the same with birds as well, with different types of...
Yeah, the birds are more... The mammals are probably more easy to kind of...
Okay.
The same formula. So we use Royal Canin puppy milk, actually, for these guys. And that's generally used for all our mammals that we get in. Now, we would add vitamins and different things to that, but that's kind of the main formula. And then the birds, yes, they're a minefield.
Yeah, I imagine.
You know, just you have to be able to make sure you know what you're getting in, sort of insectivores or...
So the little cub, she's being moved back into her clean cage now.
So you see Roisin's using gauntlets there, so we have to be careful, nobody's going to get bitten. And then lovely overturned dog bed there and heat pads, so it's all very comfy. And
they have a place to hide as well.
Exactly, that's important for them. They need to be able to kind of hide away from people.
I say welding gloves are the best thing that was ever invented.
They sure are.
I've rescued a few unfriendly snakes in my time, and I God bless those welding gloves.
They give you great confidence, I have to say. Yeah. And they're not very protective sometimes, but it gives you that confidence to go ahead.
Is there a challenge then to keep this little otter then wild enough so that you'll be able to survive?
Yeah, and that's always a worry we have in rehabilitation, is keeping these animals wild. So we have, especially when you have a large team, so everybody wants to care for them and look after them, and
they're so darn cute.
Absolutely. So we have regular meetings, like we have a morning meeting at 10 o'clock every day, and we just talk about the animals and what we're doing here and stuff, and just be sure that these animals are being kept wild. You'll see signs up around the hospital as well, just to remind people just to be careful and not talk to the animals and to cuddle them. So
it's hard.
It is hard. It is. And especially if you're just new to it all. I'm used to it now. I've seen them all and I know what's to be done. But people new to the game, you know, it's hard to be able to keep away. But so, yeah, just clean. We handle them when we're cleaning them, medicating them, or feeding them if they need to be hand-fed, and that's it. They don't get any other interaction. They get other enrichments, like you'll see the hedgehogs even have ripped up paper, and we'll have boxes in sometimes. The corvids will get, you know, insects and other stuff as well to keep them from being bored. But yeah, one of our interns, we give everyone a special task. One of them was enrichment, so come up with enrichment ideas and be able to use them in the hospital, but also be able to share them then with other people.
That's great. That's really, really cool. Yeah. Especially with really smart boards like crows and stuff like that, just to give them something to peck at.
Yeah. And there's just so many little cages here with tiny birds. It's heartbreaking to think that, and this is probably just a fraction of the animals that are injured in Ireland every year.
That's it. We're just taking some of them. But as I said earlier about this, all the rebuilt areas around the country, so there's like thousands and thousands of animals being, you know, injured or sick or orphaned in the country. And there's a need. There's a need. That's why people need to be recognised and supported.
Yeah. I'm seeing something that looks like young pigeons. They look very young now.
Yeah, these are wood pigeon nestlings that came in their nest.
They're quite late pigeons, late chicks.
If pigeons like to breed all year round, so we will get pigeons in November and December.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, often collar doves, actually, we'll see a lot of them in the winter. But these guys, so they've fallen from the nest somehow, and then they've been catted as well. So kind of a double. They'll come in with an injured leg from the fall and then have to be on antibiotics for
scrubs.
It's so important that they get the medication quickly, because the infection just goes through them really quick. So they need to be got to a vet or to a rehabilitator as soon as possible.
They're the oddest looking chicks, the young pigeons, aren't they? The squabs. They just look very different to their parents. They're very scruffy looking.
We often get called into the helpline. I found a baby owl, I found something else, and then they turn up and it's a pigeon. So if they can't really describe it, we'll always say it must be a pigeon.
What's that in there? Is that another squab?
That's another wood pigeon.
Oh, that's grand. Okay.
We've had a few stock doves, actually, so they're very similar.
Yeah.
Martins.
A martin's here, yeah.
Martins look pretty nom-nom.
Yeah. Were they young when they came in?
Yeah, we actually got like a surplus of house martins recently. At one stage, I think we were getting in like 20 a day, just the nests were getting knocked out. Yeah, it just seemed to be the season for them, the time for them. The nests were getting knocked down, cat attacks, that's really common for birds that we get in. Most of them actually are cat attacks, unfortunately.
Yes, we've talked long and hard on the podcast about that. Lock up your pussies.
Thank you.
So they're nearly ready to go.
Yeah,
still being hand fed, but starting to pick around.
Do martins
They go back to Africa. Yeah.
So you congregate in flocks. So how do you organise if these guys are by themselves? How do you organise them to integrate into a flock, or how's that work?
So we have to be where the flocks are. Ah. So we'll only release them where there is birds around. So we'll be able to put them up, and they just integrate straight away. It's amazing to see, and they're all calling.
Do they really?
Yeah. We often will let them sit for 5 or 10 minutes, so they're kind of communicating with the wild ones, and then let them off, and there they go.
And off they go to Africa. Yeah. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I'm just walking over to another place now.
Oh, hedgehog!
Yeah. Oh, a little hedgehog. Oh, wow. So tell us about this little guy.
So this guy came in. He was weak, so he went to a vet's first, and then they sent him to us. So they had him for 2 days, gave him a bit of fluids and stuff. He got a little bit brighter. He had cow dung in his spine, so they were all stuck together. Aww. So that needed to be cleaned. But as you can see, he's much livelier now. He's been with us.
Chowing down on some cat food there.
Chowing down on some cat food. He's been with us for 2 weeks, and he's been eating well, gaining weight, which is what you want. So we're just keeping him here for another little while, just to keep a close eye on him, and then eventually he'll be moved out to the stables, and then he'll be moved outside, and then he'll be released back into the wild then.
Wow. What does it feel like when that release happens?
Oh, it's such a lovely feeling. I mean, you miss them, but it's also really great just to see them fly off. It's great. I can't even describe it. It's just amazing.
Incredible. There's a little bird flapping around here as well in a very small.
That is a sparrow. Oh. And then we have two buzzards in here. So these both came in recently.
So they're sort of screened off a little bit in their in their enclosures.
Yeah, they can get a bit stressed if they can see out. So we put up this just to give them a bit more privacy so they don't get too stressed out in here. Sorry.
Gosh, there's so many smaller animals in this place. The cages are stacked high.
Yeah, so this is basically all hedgehogs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow, that's a big hedgehog. Crikey.
Sore.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah, so he's on eye drops, so he would have had a bit of an eye infection.
Okay.
So basically most things that are on medication stay in ICU.
Yeah.
Just to keep a closer eye on them.
Yeah.
So every day they get their meds and stuff. This little fledgling kestrel came in yesterday. He's so small, so sweet. He's got a little bandage on his wing, but apart from that he's good. And then just gulls as well. Mostly we keep the gulls in here, so that smell is just overwhelming and they just shit everywhere. So I think it's just easier to keep them in one place, clean it all together.
Now it's time to move back outside, and if we're lucky, we might actually find out why Dan was just a bit late meeting us today.
So this is the stable yard, sorry. Yeah. So there's 13 stables in here, all filled with different animals, otters, foxes, herons, buzzards, ducklings, pheasants, a little bit of everything really, pine martens.
And in front of us there is a car, and from this car is emerging a cage with
a otter. So it's a female otter. Her name is Sunny D. We call her D for short.
Sunny D is an otter that was rehabilitated here in the hospital. Then she was brought out to a place for a so-called soft release, where she can be checked to make sure everything's going okay. And now she's being brought back just for a health checkup, to make sure that she really is doing okay in the outside world.
Is it the cable ties, Dan, you're trying to undo?
The side bit is sticking out, these iron things.
Oh, okay.
So the cage is just out now, and everyone's just moving the large cage into a small area of, like, a small stable, where there's more cages inside. There's a big enclosure that's complete, so she will be completely secure in there when she comes out.
Yeah, you can head on in if you want to have a proper view with them.
Yeah. So the cage matches up against the door, and then the thing is lifted and she goes into the space.
So what they'll do is they'll bring that cage in even a little bit closer, and you see that silver door at the back there.
Yeah.
They'll open that a little bit and they'll just release her into it. You don't want to get too handsy with these guys. They will bite you. Yeah, they will bite you. They've got sharp teeth. So you want to minimise contact as much as possible. Literally just get in, get out, and that's it. And there should be food and stuff in there already for her. So she'd be eating between 1.5 to 2 kgs of fish per day. So they eat a lot.
So it's not cheap to rehabilitate.
It's actually really expensive to rehabilitate otters. I think you're talking around $2,000 maybe per otter a year, minimum.
Say that again.
$2,000 minimum per year to look after an otter.
See,
it's just the amount
don't
of
realize,
fish, and it's the vet bills and stuff like that, because obviously we want them checked regularly. We have these guys microchipped as well, so we have to sedate them, get the vet in, give a once over and microchip them. So yeah, it costs a lot of money, but it's worth it.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course,
it definitely
but it is.
Good
that people realise that, you know, these things aren't done for free.
So the cage has gone in and they're just going to close the stable door now so that there's no accidents of escape. That's a smooth operation.
Yeah.
Well practiced.
Oh yeah. You got to be. You got to plan everything out.
How many animals do you have here right now?
At the minute, I think we have just under 300.
Just under 300.
So a few weeks ago, we actually had 400 and something. So it's all kind of started to wind down a little bit. Not quite. Summer seemed to have just been peak season. Yeah. We had a lot of releases, so it's been great. But again, it's just a constant flow of animals coming in. So you kind of clear out and then it just comes back in again. So
just seems daunting for me because I'm so used to like spiders, snakes, frogs.
Listen, that's if I handed you a hedgehog, you'd be fine. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't do mammals.
Yes, you do. Princess Penelope.
Oh, I have, yeah, that's right.
It's Penelope.
I have a rabbit.
Do you?
It's my eternal shame.
Yeah. I'm actually really surprised by that.
I'm mad about my rabbit. I love it.
He's getting ever closer to mammals.
Yeah.
He has hens.
I've been corrupted by this podcast.
Quails.
Do you have that big garden now?
Yeah, you know,
sure,
yeah.
You can get over
I'm a squire.
Lord Dennis. Walk through a passageway. We're walking into a large field. There's fences. There's cows in a further field, which I'm assuming don't belong to the wildlife hospital. And then beyond that, I'm seeing a big enclosure. Is that you?
So this is our first permanent enclosure, and this is our waterfowl. So all our ducks and swans and gulls and all that come up here when they've finished their kind of first and second stage of rehab. So this is their kind of pre-release stuff. So they'll get able to fly around in here, as you can see. It's really big. And
so it's almost like an aviary.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Large.
Yeah, exactly. So they can fly around, just act natural. There's nobody up here, only twice a day, feeding them in the morning, feeding them in the afternoon. And that's kind of all the interaction they get, you know.
Yeah.
So once they're, you know, the feathers are fully formed and they're flying around, that's time for them to head off then.
Oh, I see a heron. Collie will be happy.
We have two herons in there. We had a couple this year. We had a little guy that actually came in. He was only a nestling, could fit in my hand. Rex, we called him. And I don't know how he survived the fall from the tree.
Huh.
And he was the youngest heron we ever had. And reared him, and he went off for release a couple of weeks ago, there to Loud. But funny enough, he actually flew back.
No.
Yeah, after 2 weeks, he flew back to come up on a Sunday morning, one of the volunteers, and he was sitting up on top of the...
Herons tend to do that. As I've documented in my battles with herons, trying to get them away from my pond.
But so, this guy was just a hatchling. Yeah. We don't know how, like, he could only fly to the height of that aviary. So how he knew this was his home was...
He'll stay here now, I'd say.
He stuck around for a week and he's gone again.
All right,
so
that's great.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing ducks, gulls, a lot of gull chicks. They're herring gulls, I think, are they?
Yeah, herring gulls. There's a few lesser black-back gulls in there as well. A lot of mallard. We've two tufted duck in there as well.
Yeah. Wow.
All these would have gotten injured, bangs of cars, all that kind of sweet stuff that happens to our lovely wildlife.
Yeah, exactly. And the ducklings would have come in around a day old. Their mother would have been killed on the road and they come in. And then some of the gulls are actually, we hatched them here. So most of them, we've released 150 juvenile gulls this
so
summer.
So did people hand in eggs or you found eggs? Or?
Yeah, so just for health and safety reasons, some eggs are removed from rooftops and that.
That's great.
Yeah, so we work with National Parks on that. So I think we had about 100 eggs and I think about 70 of them hatched.
That's brilliant. Well, that's a good solution to that issue that people are having.
Yeah.
With gulls in city centres and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Instead of crying murder and demonising them.
That's it. And if they have to be removed from, you know, fans, or if they're blocking up entrances, then at least the eggs aren't being thrown away. And because you know yourself, they are getting in more and more endangered. So it's important these animals go back out. So.
That's fantastic.
And there was some horrible stuff happening with ducklings this year, wasn't there?
Yeah, the TikTok craze. Yeah,
tell us about that.
Yeah, so I can't remember, was that June? I think it was, where somebody was selling teenagers hatchling ducklings, and they were going home, you know, city centre everywhere, we were getting frantic calls from parents and all this, that their kids had come home with ducklings and they didn't know what to do with them.
They're being sold for a fiver. I saw one guy cycling home holding a duckling in his hand.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then all the veterinary clinics were getting them handed in, and you know, ones that were dying and stuff, because they didn't even have the proper food for them. So it was absolutely crazy. Thankfully, obviously, we're just for wild animals, so we took them in initially, and then we transferred them to the DSPCA, who looked after them from there. So that was good.
Oh, very good. But there was quite a number, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think we took 60 of them. Oof. In. Yeah.
Wow. DSPCA ended up with nearly 100 or something like that. It was crazy. Yeah. It was. Yeah, really took off. But yeah, there you go. This is amazing. This place is incredible. So how did this all come about?
So it started with WRI. Emma Higgs is the founder, and she started it 10 years ago. Kind of an organisation that'd be an umbrella over rehabbers and stuff in the country. And she put on like training courses and helps set standards and that. So I've worked with Emma for a few years now, helping to go with the training courses, and then we go into UCD as well and help train vet nurses and vets there. So then we just kind of came together last year. You know, it was the numbers during COVID were just huge. Like when I was in Kildare, I just couldn't manage, like with the amount of animals coming in. And the hospital was always on the plan, but wanted to be a purpose-built, ready-made, fully staffed. But just that the crisis was that just said we'd do an emergency interim hospital, and here we are in Avon.
Did you have to ask for a land of the sheds, or are you renting it out, or what way?
Yeah, so thankfully the McCarthy family kind of were, we looked at lots of different places in different counties and stuff, but the McCarthy family came through for us and let us use the land. So
brilliant.
They've been very good to us here.
Well done, the McCarthys, fair play.
Yeah,
that's really generous, and what a cool thing to do for our wildlife, you know.
Yeah. Like we've had 1,700 animals come in since mid-February.
Good God!
Which is crazy. And 6,500 calls to our helpline from that day as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a huge operation. Like, you know, the hospital is the centre of it all, but we just, like, it's like an octopus, all these tentacles out there and all these volunteers that do different roles for us, you know, and it's fantastic.
How do you get funding for this?
It's all public donations, like every other charity, just trying to get what we can, you know. And that, you know, people have been fantastic. We'd look for a shed. So when we moved in, we had a couple of swans, and we'd nowhere outside to put them. We had the initial inside phase, but nowhere outside safe. So we put it up, and like somebody bought us a shed. I think it was 800 or 900 euro, brand new. Got it delivered. You know, it didn't want to be named or anything. There's people bought washing machines, bought wood, bought food. You know, I even had someone bring my dinner up one day. We're setting up, you know, so it was just everybody came together and made this happen, you know. So it just was fantastic.
Dan, it's incredible. So tell us about yourself. Where did you come from? What did you... You're wearing something that looks like veterinary scrubs.
Yeah, so I just wear them. I'm the animal manager here at the hospital. But my background, really, I just, like everyone, love of animals when I was younger, and my family encouraged it. And then I started volunteering in the Kildare Animal Foundation when I was 17. And used to do weekends there. Did my leaving cert. Was going to go off to do veterinary nursing after that. But then I decided to take a year out and stay at the Animal Foundation, and never left.
Never left. Yeah, fair play.
You know, so it was kind of obviously domestic animals, and then wild animals would come in, or I had a particular interest because nobody wanted to deal with them. You know, it was like you go to a vet and nobody knew how to treat them, didn't want to see them, and all you'd hear from people was, "Oh, just leave them at the side of the road, let nature take its course," and all. So,
except what got them there wasn't nature, probably.
Exactly, it's always humans that get them there, you know. Mm. So it was kind of very slow to start to try and get off then, and then 2012 we kind of came together in the Animal Foundation, set up the official kind of wildlife unit there. and it just took off. It just absolutely took off, you know, and it's just, we were getting into the media, getting into the papers, on the radios, people were starting to listen, and that's just kind of where we got to today. So 18 years doing it now.
An overnight success story. It's always the way, isn't it? People go, oh my god, this is great, you've done this so quickly. It's like they don't see the graph that goes in behind all these stories. And I think what you had to do in here is just incredible, isn't it? It's really impressive to see. Is the contributions and the money coming in, is it hard to get, or are you, you know, are you going out with buckets in supermarkets? Are you?
Yeah, it's hard enough to get. When people were bringing in animals there during the summer, it was great. People would fill out a form and they'd give you like maybe 20 or 50 euros. So that was great. The animals are starting to kind of go back now, so we're not having as many people coming to the hospital. So we're not seeing.
Do you have a line or anywhere that people can, or a PayPal, anything like that, that people can kind of donate and sort?
Yeah, we've lots on our website at wri.ie. There's we have a GoFundMe, we have our PayPal, we have all the bank details and stuff like that, and we'll hopefully launch in our membership as well, and animal kind of adoptions where people can kind of virtually adopt some of the patients here and help them throughout their rehabilitation.
That's brilliant. So if you have a few quid, guys, you know where to send it. wri.ie.
yep.
We'll put in the show notes as well. There you go. I might actually adopt a heron just to make just to balance out the universe.
Reparations.
Yeah, exactly. Oh god.
And this is only the start. What you see here, like we've only here since February, you know, but this is only the start of what we want to achieve, you know. So
where do you want to go? Where do you want to see yourself in 5 years' time?
So we want to have a purpose-built wildlife hospital that's fully staffed. You know, there's lots of fantastic rehabilitators around the country that are doing this work. Just want people to be recognised for their contribution to what they're doing. You know, they are helping our wildlife conservation as well. And just for ourselves to get the funding, but also these smaller rehabilitators around the country to be recognised as a profession. And that's why we like to set standards and do protocols and procedures and all that, so that people will take us more seriously, you know. And it is a job,
and it is really important, because it's hard graft, and a lot of these people would have jobs on the side and still have to rescue bats, hedgehogs, all sorts of different creatures. And the work and the expertise that goes on to it, I think what you're just saying there is so important, that it is recognised and it is appreciated for the real hair graft it is, you know.
Yeah, there's people working from their own homes, you know, have a family and have a job, as you said, and then doing this like night and day. Like during the summer, it is 24/7. You're up during the night feeding animals, you're up early again starting the whole thing. It's just, I've been blessed to have so much help here. Like I've had interns of five at the moment, another three to arrive at the weekend coming from the UK, but so I've been lucky to be supported by them, but many people aren't as lucky, you know. So
I think there's around 300 animals or so here. So of the 300 animals, do you reckon most of them are here because of human intervention, or human, you know, they've been made sick or been knocked down by humans?
Yeah, definitely. It's all human encroachment. And the others then are cat attacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lock up your cats, everyone.
We had 2 weeks during the summer, which was really bad. It was when a lot of baby birds were out, and it was just every bird coming in was cat attacked. And it was just, they were having to be put asleep or they died. It was just a particular hard time that I found, you know. It was just, especially with new volunteers and interns that would not be used to seeing that, and the damage that we could try and prevent, you know, by keeping our cats locked up. And it's not the cat's fault, you know. It's absolutely not.
We've talked about it at length here, and I've had colourful interactions online with cat owners who love their pets and who also are animal lovers. And I'm saying, look, you know, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, but you should really invest in a cattery or an outdoor run, or take your cat for a walk on a leash. And maybe people have cats that are too old to bring them around to that, but you could definitely insist that when you get a kitten that you people should keep them indoors nowadays. There's no need for it. It's dangerous for the cat too.
It is dangerous for the cat. I mean, I really think that somebody needs to start a campaign. I'm looking at us here, Collie, you and me, because I feel that in Ireland people are really unwilling to have this conversation. Now in New Zealand, in Australia, people are very comfortable with having this conversation about keeping cats indoors or in a cattery because of the huge impact that they're having on the wildlife. But we just take it as were very blasé about it. I remember I was in the burn a couple of years ago and I saw a cat wandering through the burn, and I was horrified thinking of perhaps as ground nesting birds, they're sitting ducks, pardon the pun, like they don't have the skills, the adaptations to evade cats because cats aren't part of this ecosystem, and that's what people forget, and they have a massive impact on wildlife.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it is time, I think, to just to look at these, you know, we're all trying to do stuff ourselves to help the environment and the planet, but we also have to look at our pets and see, even getting involved in trap, neuter and release programs, you know, and do all, they're so important. There's lots of great domestic rescues that are doing that, and they should be getting some government funding so that they're able to do more with that, and that will help our wildlife.
So where are we going next?
So we're heading up, these are two new aviaries that we've got donated by Keelings.
Brilliant.
So they're actually polytunnels.
Yeah, that's what they look like,
yeah. So they're really strong and sturdy, and we're really grateful for them for doing that. So,
but they're polytunnels that aren't, they have sort of a netting instead of the plastic on them.
Yeah, exactly. So we've put some wire mesh on it there just to keep the birds safe, and then some meshing inside. We're going to use one of these for a bat flight as well, and the other one we're going to use for birds. So
they're not occupied yet, are
not
they?
Not occupied yet. We only got them recently, so we have to get a base done for our bats, so we've kind of started that to press the...
So at the moment we're looking at that you have carpet tiles, is that to just keep the grass growth down?
Yeah, we're just trying to suppress the grass.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah, inside it, so then we can do a proper base on it for...
It's amazing.
Bats. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a good size, isn't it? It's
good.
A smaller aviary up here. So again... A couple of people came together to build this, and this is for our small birds.
So it's a little bit smaller than the polytunnels, and it's more traditional looking, that you walk into a passageway, and then on the right hand side there's doors into the individual enclosures.
Oh, wow.
So we have a soft release on some blackbirds at the minute, so you'll see we have the door left open on this, and they'll come and go. And
what's soft release mean?
So soft release, we use it for orphans generally. So they're in here for 2 weeks. We open the door and it's kind of like their home or their base. So if they're flying in and out, or if they go off and they're struggling for food, they know, oh, I need to go back home for food, and they'll come and take it. So it's kind of that intermediate period where,
like college students.
Yeah, I was about to say that, exactly. Yeah,
so they can come back, and if they're struggling at all, they know where to go, and we'll be able to support them till they're fully ready to be back in the wild.
There's a beautiful female blackbird just fluttering around. So is she coming and going a little
bit?
She's
coming and going, yeah. This has been open now for 2 days, so I was up earlier and she wasn't here, so she's just coming back for food.
And next to her in the next enclosure, I see something that looks pigeon-like with a beautiful fan tail. Yeah. What is that?
The collar doves.
Beautiful collar doves. There's four of them. Oh, they're gorgeous. Were they chicks when they came?
Yeah, they were only nestlings when they came in. So they were fed every 4 hours by all the volunteers here. God. Thankfully, with birds, we don't have to feed them during the night.
Right.
So 7 a.m. till 10 p.m, birds are. But
they're still very. They look like adults, but not quite. They're just getting there. They're beautiful.
The rings, yeah, the black kind of collar
they're,
coming.
They're
up
very
there.
Attractive looking.
We get
a load of wood pigeons. I've never seen so many wood pigeons in my life. They're daft birds. I saw one getting hit by a truck on the way down here today. Now, he was grand.
Really?
He flew away. But it was like a big explosion. They're crazy birds here.
Yeah, they're like exploding pigeons. You'd handle them and there's just feathers
everywhere. Yeah.
So.
What's the babies called again? Squabs.
Squabs, yeah. Squeakers as well. As some.
Squeakers,
yeah.
So these are some... juveniles as well. The two on the bottom are adult wood pigeons.
So there's four in there, is there?
There's four in there, yeah.
I think wood pigeons, when you see them in their full glory, they're stunning.
They absolutely are, yeah. They're just, them eyes are really, you know, they stick out the most on them. Fantastic.
And look at that lovely white colour on the neck of that pigeon there. And I think we disregard them because they're everywhere. You sort of, you know, what you see every day, you just think, that's nothing. But they're really stunning when you look at them.
They sure are, and they're really important for the whole ecosystem, you know.
Are these guys going to be released eventually as
These are nearly ready. So they come up here when they're just ready. We don't need to be kind of keeping a close eye on them. So
it's like a halfway hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you went there, you flew out there. Brilliant.
Oh, the blackbird just flew out. Oh, fantastic.
And we have somebody on the ground here.
They're in another enclosure. There's the pigeons. Whoops, sorry about that, guys. So what's on the ground?
So we had a pheasant in here.
Oh.
I think he might be gone, though. We were soft-releasing him.
I can't see anybody. No, I won't disturb him anyway. Probably gone. That's great.
That is good news. And on the floor there, on the ground, we're looking at tins of cat food. And
it's such a long walk. We generally leave the food up here in containers just so that we're not travelling up. Yeah. And so this is our furthest point, well away from the hospital. So like the birds are up here, not near anybody, and they can go fully wild.
You guys are amazing to do all this, though. It's quite the dedication.
It's hard work. It's not for everybody. Absolutely. You know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
You
know. Totally in awe of what's happening here. We're standing here with Dan and we're just going to wind up because we're going to head off. Yeah. He's very busy. So you were telling us that, you have a message about the place.
Yeah, it's just we feel passionate about it. We know that there's a great need for this hospital and many more. We need one hospital in Ireland won't be enough. There needs to be plenty more everywhere. We need people, the government, to get behind projects like this and just support it and make it happen. You know, we will make this happen. It might take a long time, but we will make it happen. We want to make it happen. There's so many volunteers involved, just too many animals needing this hospital. So we will have to make it permanently and, you know, purpose built and have all the stuff and the veterinary suite and all that there so that these animals, when they come here, get treated on site, and then once they're leaving full healthy back to the wild, you know. So
so we'll ask for as much help as we can on the podcast, and anyone who's listening, throw a few quid your way. Also put some pressure on your local councillors and ask them to kind of step up for not just greenwashing, not just showing up with a shovel and planting a tree, but for actual active conservation work, active care for wildlife, which is what yous are engaging and what we're all about. We're always saying this is the real shit, this is the real stuff that needs to be done. And me and Claire are just saying here, yous are total heroes to us. I cannot say how much I've always admired you from afar, but now I admire you even more. And especially the volunteers that work here with you. For the time they give up, it's just unbelievably hard work, and doing it for free, it's crazy. It's so good.
Yeah, and you can see the hard work. You can see them all just working so hard, just for the one purpose. We're all in it together, and that's what it's about. And it's like, you know, working with everybody. Doesn't matter what you do, just working together for the one goal to save these animals and keep them out there.
Be serious about biodiversity loss and all that stuff that we're always talking about. We need to start taking action on it. We need more wildlife hospitals in this country. We need this place funded and set up properly so that the people that are volunteering
and also
can continue to do this work.
We also need to call out people who are greenwashing crap and destroying hedgerows and stuff. Call them out. Don't let it go away. You like every person has a voice.
Report it
Report it and do your bit, and you know, if everyone does a little bit, then we can all make it happen. I am totally in the power of people, you know.
It is, and it's about that, and that's what changes, that people made this happen. You know, and there is also, just as I was talking about hedgerows and stuff, we do have a website, wildlifecrime.ie, on that, and there's lots of information about wildlife crimes, because again, people don't know what is a wildlife crime.
Exactly.
Just because somebody did it for all generations and thought it was okay doesn't mean it's right. So lots of information on there and how to report it to the right people.
How about that website again?
It's wildlifecrime.ie.
And the general website for it?
It's wri.ie.
Perfect. You're an absolute legend, and thank you so much for having us. It's been an eye-opening and inspiring experience. You're a diamond in the rough, man. I swear to God.
The Critter Shed is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts. As is my podcast, Not Without My Sister. You can find more great shows on thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.